You guys mostly know me. I'm Raymond from the group home, right? I want to share briefly out of Matthew. Amen. I want to honor the time here. Matthew chapter 14, verses 22 and on. I'll give you a moment to get there. I want to thank Pastor Gary for inviting me. I always, you know, there's a song that we're going to listen to, and it talks about the different voices that come to me. Amen. You guys probably heard of the voice of truth. During my sermon, we're going to stop a moment to hear the song. And I hear different voices at times, right? And sometimes the enemy is real loud, and God's like a soft whisper. And it's usually easier to, like, the loud voice is like, they're never going to invite you back. You blew it. You moved around too much. You was too loud. You know, I said, I like it over there. So when Pastor Gary invited me back, I was like, praise God, the devil's a liar. Hallelujah. They like me. They really, really like me. Praise the Lord. So I'm really blessed to be here. Really blessed to be here. You have no idea. And I want to read to you these verses and then we'll get into it. Amen. Verses 22 and on. Immediately Jesus made the disciples get into the boat and go on ahead of him to the other side, while he dismissed the crowd. After he had dismissed them, he went up on a mountainside by himself to pray. When evening came, he was there alone, but the boat was already a considerable distance from land, buffeted by the waves because the wind was against it. During the fourth watch of the night, Jesus went out to them, walking on the lake. When disciples saw him walking on the lake, they were terrified. "It's a ghost," they said, and cried out in fear. But Jesus immediately said to them, "Take courage, it is I. Don't be afraid." "Lord, if it's you," Peter replied, "tell me to come to you on the water." "Come," he said. Then Peter got down out of the boat, walked on the water, and came toward Jesus. When he saw the wind, he was afraid and beginning to sink, cried out, "Lord, save me." Immediately Jesus reached out his hand and caught him. "You of little faith," he said, "why did you doubt?" And when they climbed into the boat, the wind died down. Then those who were in the boat worshipped him, saying, "Truly, you are the Son of God." When they had crossed over, they landed at Gennesaret. And when the men of that place recognized Jesus, they sent word to all the surrounding country. People brought all their sick to him and begged him to let the sick just touch the edge of his cloak. And all who touched him were healed. And my sermon topic is burn the boats. Usually it'd be get out the boat. But I want to invite someone this morning to burn your boat. And I'll tell you more about that in a little bit. There's a couple of things that I want to share in the story. One of them, as far as the teaching is concerned, that Jesus sent them to the other side. They were obeying Jesus. And by obeying Jesus, they found themselves in a storm. And that has a little bit of importance because there's actually two types of storms we can find ourselves in. You can find yourself in a Jonah type of storm, where Jonah found himself in a storm because of his disobedience to God. God said, "Listen, I want you to go here. Those people are miserable. They're not going to like you. You're not going to like it. Blah, 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 blah. Go." And Jonah said no. And Jonah did his own thing. And by doing his own thing, he found himself in a storm. And that's a storm of disobedience. But there's another storm. And a lot of Christians sometimes make a mistake by thinking, if I'm obedient to God, it'll be smooth sailing. Right? That's what they... And I'm a church planter, and God bless you, brother, in Boston. Church. And there's a bumper sticker that sometimes offends me. And it says, "The safest place to be is in the center of God's will." And that's a lie from the pits of hell. Amen. It's not safe in God's will. It's dangerous in God's will. If you look at all the disciples except for John, they were all messed up. They got twisted. They got hurt. They were persecuted. Only John, right? All the rest of them were martyred. They were killed. But sometimes when you follow God and you obey God and you go where God has called you to go and you do what God has called you to do, you'll find yourself in a storm. And they found themselves in a storm of obedience. And they were obeying God, and they were in the storm. But I do want to say this, in paradox of that. There's a paradox here. It's safer in a storm of obedience than being in a crowd with a crowd on dry land in disobedience. It is safer to be at the center of God's will, where everything is turbulent and the waves are crashing, and it seems like every demon in hell is in your household, attacking your family and your kids and messing with your finances. And it's safer to be in God's will than to be in some calm place laying in the sun in disobedience. And so that's one of my first points that I want to say, that sometimes when you do God's will, there's going to be turbulence. And Jesus says, you know, in this world you will have much trouble, be turbulence, you're going to go through drama. But be of good cheer, for I have overcome the world. And so we're going to go through some storms because of our obedience to God. We're going to go through some things, and Jesus sent them to the other side. And when I study the Bible, because I'm not really going to preach, I just want to talk to you about it. I want to talk it out with you. When I read the Bible, I try to put myself in a story. I'm like, how would I feel? What would I, would you be honest? Hey, would you get out that boat? I don't know. I want to say, yeah, immediately I would get out the boat. And I would not, I don't know. It's easy to theorize and, yeah, sure, you know, I'll walk, I would have never sunk in, you know. Pride, took my chest out. I don't know. And that's funny because, they say some, when I hear sermons, I'm saying, oh, Peter's doubting. You know, Peter lost faith and that's why he sunk. And that's true. But Peter was the only one that got out of the boat. And I got to think, when Jesus was on the mountainside praying, I kind of think, because the Bible says in Romans, you know, he intercedes for us. He's at the right hand of the Father. Right? And I kind of think when he was on the mountainside praying for himself, he knew that they were going to go in a storm. And I kind of want, as I study the Bible, think that he wasn't just praying for one to get out the boat. He was praying that all of them would get out the boat. It's like if you have children, right? I don't want just one of my children to succeed. I want all of my children to succeed. I want them all to not carry the Ramos name, but carry the Jesus name. You know, that's, you know, I grew up, you be a Ramos. Ramos is a tough, men don't cry. And forget the Ramos name, the Jesus name. And I want my kids to glorify and live and please Jesus. And not just one, all of them. So when I think Jesus was praying for them, I kind of thought, you know, I kind of, in my own, I'm not a scholar, so, don't, you know, this, Pastor Guy might have to, you know, teach you the right stuff next week. But this week, I kind of like want to think, I'm sure he just didn't pray for one of them. And even and as you read the scripture, he prays for all his disciples. But Peter was the only one that's responded and said, Lord, if it's you, tell me to come. And what I like about this little scripture is that he got out the boat. And some, not in this church, but in Brooklyn, there's a lot of Christians that like the comfortable boat. They like in familiar areas. They're not willing to take any risks. They just, you know, just us six families, let's sing kumbaya and let's have church. And here, Jesus sent a call. But what I like is that Peter asked him to call. Like Peter said, God, you know, it's almost like I prayed a crazy prayer once. I said, God, if you can use anything, you can use me. Right? Brooklyn Tabernacle Choir. If you can use anything, Lord, you can use me. That song I heard, I said, man, you think you could use me, God? I was a dirty, filthy drug addict. I got a seventh grade education. I still curse. I'm living in sin. I'm messed up. I still fight. You can use me. As I was going to church, I wasn't in a progressive sanctification state. I was positionally sanctified, but progressively I was working it out still with fear and trembling. And anyway, so I was like, God, can you use me? And I said a crazy prayer. I don't know what came into me. But I said, Lord, if you can use anything, if that song is true, I don't know about the Bible, but I know the song. If it's biblical, then use me. And man, he messed me up. He messed me up. One day I'm sitting in church, and that was kind of like my, Lord, if it's you, send me to come. And one day I'm sitting in church, and Pastor Simbler, some of you guys heard the story, was talking about shoes, and I didn't know the Bible. I didn't read the Bible. I just heard the Bible, you know, when I went to church at that time. And he told the story. I don't got time to tell the story. But the hit was, I'll tell you the story. All right? He was on stage in Argentina speaking to a bunch of pastors. And I'm messed up. I'm in the church, you know, ordinary Sunday. I come to get my, feed me, I don't want to do nothing, just feed me, right? And he's talking about being on a platform on stage, and the woman starts cleaning his shoes. And he says to the pastor, tell her to please stop. Tell her, I'm just a man, she's making me uncomfortable. So the pastor tells him in Spanish, you know, lady, you're making the pastor uncomfortable, he wants you to stop. And she tells him, please tell him not to make me stop. How beautiful are the shoes of a man who does exploits for the Lord. And at that moment, I'm sitting in church, And something happened to me. I didn't know the scripture, but now I learned 3 years later that was a scripture in two places in the Bible. But at that moment, when she said, "How beautiful are the shoes of a man," it pierced my heart. Something happened. Where I come from, men don't cry, and I began to weep. And we can all type the weird noises, people around me looking at me, and I'm broken there. And at that moment, God called me. He said, "Come. Come. Yes, I can use you. Yeah, I know you're messed up. You're not going to do it. I'm going to do it through you. Come." And I came. Amen. And I came. And at that moment, I responded to God's call. I got baptized. I got married. I started tithing. That was getting out of the boat for me at that moment. I had to get right with God. I had to deal with some business here. At that moment, I was just tipping God, giving him my scraps. I got serious about God's business. Okay, so I asked him, "If you can use anything, use me." He called me. Now, I go in, and now, like Peter. So I got out the boat. I started doing some things, and things got rough. You know, do you think when you respond to God's call, it should be peaches and cream? "No weapon formed against you shall prosper. He that's in you is greater than he who's in the world." But there was tribulation, and there was different voices coming at me. And I began to doubt. "No, you can't even talk English. Preach the gospel. You can't talk Spanish neither. What are you going to do?" And I began to see my insecurities began to surface. When Pedro was talking about knowing himself, you got to be a strong man. I mean, a strong Christian knows his weaknesses and is able to identify them and say, "Lord, in my weakness, you are made perfect." And be honest about where I'm at. So if I'm where I'm at, I can go where God wants me to go. So anyway, Peter steps out the boat, and then you know the story. He sees the wind, and he doubts, and that's normal. It's normal. Be careful how you think about Peter, because if you step out and do something for the Lord, you might go through the same things. What I like about Peter is that he didn't wait till he was drowning. Some Christians, they in the closet getting slapped by the devil. Slapped. God can't use you, and pride and materialism and all types of stuff, and they're getting slapped, and they don't bear each other's burdens. They don't talk about it. They don't come to the pastor. They don't come to the elders, and they get slapped in the dark, and they wait till they're in the last leg. A lot of marriages that happens. They come to counseling when their hearts are hard, bitter, cold, and they want out when they're drowning. But immediately he cried out to the Lord, and immediately the Lord grabbed his hand. So I want to share with you in my next couple of minutes that Peter got out the boat and he walked on water. He walked on water. He's a water walker. There's not too many in that category. So I want to share with you some things. When I got called to ministry, a lot of you know my story. I was not good for a bad example. Okay? Not good for a bad example. But I responded. I understood something happened in my heart in the spiritual realm. I don't know if it happens to everybody. It happened to me. I don't think it happens to everybody because not everybody looks like it happened to them. And something happened to me that I understood that the church was the hope of the world. I understood that the message and the story of Jesus Christ had to be told. That drug addicts can get delivered. That prostitutes can get freed up. That bums can become ministers. And I understood. I said, "What God can do in my life, He did it for me. He could do it for you." And I understood that the church needed to rise up and go out. And I began to just say, "God, if you can use me." And it was rough. It was rough in the beginning. It was rough. I was rough. But God was doing a work in me. So one of the things that I had struggled with and still struggle with, let me just be honest. I still struggle with faith. We're talking about going to Puerto Rico. We don't got nothing. Right? We can't pay our bills in Brooklyn, but we're preparing to go to Puerto Rico. Why? Faith. 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 Somebody said that faith is stepping out on nothing and landing in the arms of God. And we're stepping out in faith. I need an associate pastor in Brooklyn, right? And I'm interviewing guys, and I got no package to give them. Interviewing them. Saying, "You got a degree, that's great. We need guys who are educated. I need a Christian ed guy." And then, say, "Yeah, what are you looking for?" And we got nothing. I'm calling those things that are not as if they were. Trusting God for them. And so anyway, faith is an issue. It's an issue. It's the Hebrews 11:6 says, it is impossible to please God without faith. And that means that I got to get out of my comfort zone. Like Peter got out of his comfort zone and entered the faith zone. And God is looking for men and women who are willing to get out of their boats. Get out of your familiar grounds. Get out of what's comfortable. Get out of what's... Sometimes the boat is what keeps us from walking on water, right? And we don't want to let go of the boat. It's so familiar. It's so comfortable. Sometimes doing God's will and stepping out of faith, it seems ridiculous. But God is looking for a man and a woman to believe him for his word. To step out, to come to Jesus. Here's another principle that's really important, that when you keep your eyes on Jesus, not on the pastor, not on the elders, not on the deacon board, not on nobody, not on brother so-and-so. When you keep your eyes on Jesus, you can continue to walk on water. But when you take your eyes off of Jesus, pastor didn't shake my hand. Somebody took my parking. Somebody's in my seat. Trouble now. When you keep your eyes on Jesus and you fix your eyes on Jesus, you're able to walk above that which is trying to tear you down. You're able to walk above that which is trying to put. You're able to walk above if you keep your eyes on Jesus. And I want to tell you a story before we go, because I want 10-10, right? 10-10? 10-10? Praise the Lord. There's a general. He wasn't so nice. He wasn't so great. He wasn't so nice. But he was a general. General Cortez, I'll tell you his name. He did a lot of evil things, but he wanted to conquer a treasure that had never been able, nobody had ever been able to conquer in 500 years. And so what he did is he went around and started looking for men and women and said, listen, I'm going to go conquer this treasure. How would you like to spend the money with me? And he began to envision them. He began to give them vision. He began to tell them, you know, envision them. Listen, we're going to go take this treasure. And men signed up for the job and they went on a journey. It was a long journey. And throughout the journey, things got rough. And the naysayers and the whiners said, nah, this ain't working. And they started saying, nah, I'm not with this. And I don't like his leadership and blah, blah. And he had to make a stop and get him off the boat. And he got him off the boat and he envisioned the other guys and he did leadership development and he let them know that God, you know, that he had a plan and that he was going to do it. And he began to envision and he began to encourage and they got to the place where they were going to go. And he gave them an order that was pretty, and it provoked me. It provoked me. He tells them, take everything off the boats. And then he tells them, burn the boats. And I can imagine what the guys were saying. What do you mean burn the boats? What do you mean? How are we going to get back? What happens if we get into trouble? What happens if we have to retreat? He says, we don't retreat. Either we succeed or we die. There's no plan B. If we go back home, we're going back in their boats. And that whole total commitment, a total abandonment, no, like just utter, like just giving oneself to a call and a vision. Now they gave themselves to a materialistic, earthly thing. But how many know that God wants us, one day we'll have a crown of life, a crown that we'll throw at Jesus' feet. And I think that we have something more, much more valuable to attain, to acquire, serving Jesus, reaching out, getting involved, getting in the game, doing something for the Lord. The Lord is saying, come. We need men and women to leave your little comfort zone. And I'm not trying to be offensive in any way, but God is looking for someone. I told somebody who's making a lot of money, quadruple, you know, I don't make too much money, so you can make a triple easy what I make, right? But I asked somebody, listen, brother, there's nothing more important, nothing more meaningful than being able to be a voice spoken for God, a voice that God can use that can determine someone's eternity. There's nothing more valuable. Nothing. I don't care what boat you have, what yacht, what houses, what condo. I don't care about your retirement plan. Listen, there's nothing like a spiritual legacy. Nothing like leaving your mark behind for Jesus Christ. I said, forget that CEO stuff. Come on. Get with me. He looked at me like I'm crazy. I said, burn your boat, man. God is doing something here. We need you. Burn your boat. I challenged another guy just the other day, Pastor Miguel Valentin. I said, man, come on. God will provide. I said, I let go of my job 2001. I let go of my job. I didn't know. I let go of my job to make $25 a week. Come on, God's provided. And I asked him, come with us. Come. Burn your boat. Forget your idea. Forget your bit. Come, burn your boat. Serve the Lord. I told him, you won't regret it. The Bible says you get, who's not going to give their houses and this and that and get it back right now? Whoever finds his life loses it. Whoever loses it for Christ's sake will find it. Burn your boat, I told him. He goes, what about my package? I said, don't worry, we don't pay much, but retirement plan is out of this world. So as we close, I don't know what the Lord has called you to do, but I know that this is a church that spends time with the Lord, and I know that you have a conference next week. And I pray that whatever your boat is, whatever it may be, whatever might be keeping you comfortable, whatever you're secure in, whatever it may be, I pray that as this conference goes on, that you allow God, you give him the liberty to send you wherever, whenever. That you open your heart to God and say, Lord, whatever you want me to do, whatever it takes, here I am. And I promise you, there's going to be other voices saying, what are you, ridiculous? That kid was a drug addict. He don't know nothing. You don't worry about that. You just be easy. You got a good thing right going on here. Don't shake the boat. Don't rock the boat. Burn the boat. Don't rock it. Burn it. I want you to listen to these words of the song. And then Pastor Gary will close in a word of prayer. The voice of truth. Doubt sees the obstacles. Faith sees the way. Doubt sees the darkest night. Faith sees the day. Doubt dreads to take a step. Faith soars on high. Doubt questions, who believes? Faith answers, here am I. I encourage you to have faith in God and do and go where He sends you to go. No matter how ridiculous it sounds, God will glorify Himself in your life and you'll be blessed by it. Thank you.
Thank you, Ray.